Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a lot to get into because, the tour moves on, and PGA Tour, LIV Tour, are all golf, but we're going to go backwards a little bit and talk with our good friend Steve Johnson, the director of golf at Vaquero Country Club in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, about last week and what happened at Riviera and Tiger, even Jordan Spieth, rules violations, as well as withdrawing and all that stuff. So some good stuff that we'll get into with Steve. We got Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, hello there. I'm doing good. It's beautiful here today. Going to be in the high 60s, maybe to 70. And
Nice.
Really would love to go play golf, but can't still do it with my foot. So
yeah. So give us an update on that. You broke an ankle. You fractured a bone. You did something.
Yeah, broke a couple of bones in my foot, but it's getting better. I mean, I'm walking a lot better, and
still in a boot.
A couple of days ago, I took that boot and retired it and put on tennis shoes, and I'm walking around. I'm not supposed to, but
Of course not. But you know better than the doctors, Frank. You always have.
I do. I mean, you know, I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night either, you know.
Yeah, we all think we're doctors, don't we?
Absolutely. I just hate wearing that thing. I mean, I feel like Frankenstein walking around.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. So anyway.
I'm good. Everything's good. We're getting ready. You know, get contractors or construction is probably going to start in another week or two on the house. So we'll see where we are 6 months from now.
are you psyched about the Masters? Is the plan still for you to go to the Masters?
Well, I'm going to go down. I just don't know what days we'll be there, but we'll get all that worked out. And we'll have Steve on and you on. And
you're just basically staying in a tree fort, right? Somebody built a tree fort in the backyard? Well,
pretty much Marcus's tree fort, Azalea Hospitality, Azalea House, azaleahospitality.com is our host, as they always are. So I'll be staying there, and we'll be set up in Azalea House. So it'll be fun.
Good.
I'll be sleeping in bunk beds, I think six of us to a room.
And by the way, speaking of that, this just dawned on me with your injury. Bernhard Langer got hurt recently, did he not? Because he was going to play in his final Masters, but if I'm not mistaken, didn't we find out a couple weeks ago that he cannot play in the Masters?
I think so. Right? We might have to ask the guru of that. I don't know.
I think that's right. I think he was supposed to play in his final one because he's now, 66-ish or something like that?
Yeah, he's getting up there. Yeah.
But you know what's funny is about, 4 years ago or so, he made the cut fairly recently, and I'm not saying he was in contention on Sunday to win it, but he's playing really well for. I get some 66-year-olds shouldn't be playing because they shoot 88, but I think he's still been playing well. It's just his own choice, I think.
I'd take an 88 there.
I'd take anything. I don't want to play. I'd like to hit a ball. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Well, let's bring him in. Steve Johnson, again, everybody knows, director of golf at director of instruction at Vaquero Country Club in the Fort Worth area, I guess, better than Dallas-Fort Worth. It's north of Fort Worth, and he joins us now. How you doing, Stevie?
Hey, guys. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you.
Good to have you. Yeah.
So am I right on that?
I'm feeling a little sick right now, so I may have to run out of the room here. No, I'm good.
Uh-oh, you and Tiger, huh?
You want to jump right into it then, huh?
Oh, man. My gosh. Evidently, there was some bad sushi going around over there at Riviera.
You don't leave that out on the buffet table all day, right?
All right, well, let's jump into it, Steve. You know Tiger for 100 years, and here's my theory.
Oh, God.
Is we're into John Daly territory now, which is when Tiger's not going to play well or isn't playing well or may miss a cut or whatever in the limited time he plays in the future and going back not that far. I think you're going to expect to see him withdraw and expect to see him not finish a golf tournament.
I don't agree with that
he had stomach issues. When's the last time you saw a guy pull out of a tournament because he wasn't feeling well? Not an injury, but he wasn't feeling well. It rarely ever happens. You suck it up, finish the round, and then do your best to get better by the next day. Oh, by the way, he took an IV, and they said an hour later he was feeling 100%. Really? So the IV, the miracle IV, that you couldn't get anything on the course, you couldn't drink fluid, you couldn't do anything else. I don't buy it. I don't buy that. That's his reason.
There are many people that think just like you, Tim.
I know there
many
are.
People. So, I mean, as I, and this will happen, it happened to me, but as I get older, you tend to give people more grace because we know we don't understand exactly what's going on. We don't see we see through hazy glasses, I guess you would say, because we don't know all the circumstances. Now, I happen to be in a position where some of the people that I know were right there and knew what was going on. And evidently, he had had to, on the sixth hole, he had had to bend over in a trash can and got sick. He was really sick. He is not a quitter, man. He is going to do whatever he needs to do. And I understand that, hey, you know what? I'm not playing well. I'm just going to cash it in. I actually get offended when you say he's the John Daly syndrome right now. Though I've been very critical of Tiger, but
yeah, I think he was sick.
He was very sick. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, no matter how sick you are, and you know how the flu waxes and wanes with, you know, how you start feeling better and then all of a sudden you start doing something. Oh man, I'm not good. I'm not as good as I thought I was. He was right there to make the cut. It's his tournament. His foundation is a beneficiary of a lot of the money, the sponsorship money. I mean, he's going to do whatever he can do to be a good host. Like I said, Tim, I've been critical of Tiger over in the past, but in this situation, I mean, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. If he could have done it, he would have done it.
So let me ask you this. Let me phrase it a different way. If Tiger at the time, Cantlay, probably I'm making this up. Cantlay was leading at 7 under, maybe somewhere around there. Okay. Tiger's 2 over. He's on the cut line. So he's not right there to make the cut. He's heading in the wrong direction on his way to a 4 over round. So he knows he's not going to make the cut. That's my premise. If he was 6 under, 5 under, really in the mix of being in contention, he's still getting in that golf cart and driving to the clubhouse?
Yes.
No way. There's no way.
Yes.
There's no way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And you say he's not a quitter. He's not a quitter. But a stomach virus is going to say, I'm 2 shots out of the lead.
There are people who said in the media that he ran to the restroom while his playing partners were putting out on the green. He was putting last and came back. And then on the way between that green and the next tee box, and I don't know what holes that was. I can't remember. He went back to the bathroom again. Yeah, he was in and out of the bathroom and in the trash can throwing up.
All I know is, and you guys can, obviously we can all disagree, but all I know is Tiger has more of things that everybody shakes their head and scratches their head because his glutes weren't firing at one time, and nobody knew what the hell that even meant. But that was a reason, because your glutes weren't firing.
I kept telling him. From now on, let me interject here. He does put glute activator in his bag now, so he's not going to have that problem anymore.
Yeah, there you go. See, yeah. And nobody has a laxative or a
Imodium
or whatever.
Imodium. Yeah,
nobody has that in their bag. His bag, every pro's bag, is filled with everything. Because you can tell me, when's the last time you saw, and it sure could have happened to somebody we've never heard of, we just didn't notice they were out of the tournament, when's a guy walked off the course because he had flu-like symptoms, he wasn't feeling well, he had a stomach ache or whatever, when's the last time that happened?
I don't know.
The answer is, we can't remember because it never happens.
Oh, yeah, it does. People get sick.
Well, sure they do, and they fight through it.
Well, maybe if you poop in your pants, maybe it's time to go.
You withdraw because your back's hurt, you got those kind of injuries, that's what happens. You don't withdraw.
This is,
because
say,
you're
Steve,
not feeling
this
well.
Is the loving father, Tim Matthews.
No, it's all made up. Why are we sympathetic to Tiger? Being the only guy that's had this happen to him?
Oh, my gosh.
Frank, it's obvious that he's hanging around with the wrong – Tim is hanging around with the wrong kind of people because –
oh, my God. Yeah, it has nothing to do with that.
Invoking the John Daly comments now? Good Lord.
Yeah. I brought up Daly as in, and I get that's an extreme, but you had to understand the point, which was Daly has been notorious for withdrawing from tournaments or playing in 2 hours and shooting an 81 and walking off the, that's, and I get that's not Tiger, but withdrawing from a tournament that you're a sponsor of, that you've got all the fans there to watch you, hang on, that have the networks there to see you over the weekend, all these things on the line, and you don't keep playing because you have a tummy ache? Give me a break.
Okay, so let's move to something a little more critical mass than this. They're playing in Mexico City this week, correct? Correct. Guess what's going on in Mexico City?
I don't know.
Two times now within the past week, emergency sirens going off. A volcano is erupting down there, spewing ash everywhere.
That's the reason to withdraw. If you're getting hit with volcanic ash, you can withdraw from a tournament.
Well, if you have a pain in the ash, you know, you got to withdraw. There you go. Okay.
Let me put a cherry on top of this illness deal. I can still remember when John Daly, it was probably 90 degrees outside, and John Daly was going through a detox, going through the DTs on the golf course. Mm-hmm. Everyone else had short sleeve shirts on, was sweating, and he had a sweater on and was shivering like he was cold.
Yeah, right. I remember
that. He withdrew from that tournament.
Yeah.
I think we got to give these guys a benefit of the doubt. Tiger does not, he does not quit. Believe me.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. He doesn't quit.
Oh, Tim.
I think we'd have to go. Steve, I didn't do enough research. I would give my do my research and give you examples when Tiger quits.
Golf Talk America is brought to you by Tim Matthews Sensitivity Training School.
He did. I'm not supposed to be sensitive. That's not my job, is to be sympathetic to a pro athlete that makes millions and is there to perform his job.
How about just acknowledging the fact that you may not know all the facts?
How about acknowledge that there's all kinds of sports that take place, not just Tiger. How many times have you seen Patrick Mahomes leave a game because his stomach was bothered? It's got to happen to guys, right? They have to have an illness.
Oh.
Not like everybody's always 100% healthy. Tell me the last time you saw guys leave a basketball court. Steph Curry, LeBron, when did they leave a game because their tummy hurt? It doesn't happen I'm saying.
No, they don't leave the game.
So don't sit there and defend Tiger.
They don't start the game. They said, you know what? Hey, I'm tired today. I played two games in a row. I'm going to sit out this game.
Okay, so Tiger didn't know. He was on the seventh hole. He didn't know before he teed off. His stomach was bothering him. He could have pulled out then and said,
He's not a quitter.
Until he is, Frank. What we're talking about is him quitting. And you guys keep talking about how he's not a quitter, and we're talking about him quitting a golf tournament. So, yes, he did quit.
Well, maybe he should have worn a diaper.
And then I don't care what you do.
Welcome to Jerry Springer.
I don't care. Do something.
Good Lord.
Compete.
Okay, let's look at the other end of the spectrum. You got a guy that was 5-under going into the 36th hole. He double bogeyed that hole. He's 3-under. He's obviously making the cut. It's a hard golf course. He's got a chance to do something. He's played well the last three rounds. He got disqualified because he was so sick. He left the designated area, didn't check his scorecard, left the designated area, got disqualified because he was sick. He was sick.
Yes. Jordan.
That's not why he got disqualified. He got disqualified because he signed the wrong scorecard.
Well, he was sick.
He had signed the card before he had to leave the designated area. And when he left, the card was signed. He didn't check it. He left the area. Got disqualified.
Right.
Is he a quitter? He's a quitter?
Good God. You're trying to make an argument that there isn't one. That's not the same scenario at all. He made a mistake.
Absolutely.
He signed a scorecard.
He had to run to the restroom.
Once again, you guys act like these are the two most isolated incidents that have ever happened. Like nobody's ever signed a scorecard and been not feeling well, and they still double-checked, triple-checked it, and signed the right scorecard. It's very unusual. Very rare that a guy signs the wrong scorecard. So now he's the exception, just like Tiger, the one in a million that had to leave so fast after he signed a scorecard that happens. Other guys have been sick and they signed the right scorecard or they double checked it.
He did make a mistake. I got to tell you, Tim, he did make a mistake. He could have kept that scorecard, left that designated area, and came back and not gotten disqualified. He made a mistake of leaving the scorecard there in that area. And when he left, you know, and that rule has been changed around. The committee at the golf course can create that rule where it's not necessarily if you leave the room, but if you leave the property, if you leave the locker room, it's a very flexible rule. In this case, it happened to be if you leave the scoring area which was very unfortunate for so Gerard. Now, he did say he was very sick on Saturday too. So I don't even know if he would have played if he would have not gotten disqualified.
Well, if that's going around, this defeats you guys' argument. If that's going around like it apparently is, why only Tiger? If it's going around, if there's jokingly but not bad sushi, and those two guys weren't feeling good, they're probably not the only two that weren't feeling good. Why only one withdrew?
Well, let's see what happens this week.
Tell you why. Because he quit. Because he was going to blow up okay. five over.
Oh, jeez.
Well, all I got to say, Tim, is I hope it happens to you sometime and you don't.
No, you
quit.
Don't. Why do you care? I have nothing to do with it. Oh. It has nothing to do with me just because I think this is what the guy did. Why do you take it? You're taking it personally.
You got a big interview with Gary Player, and it's a big deal. It's on TV. And
Gary Player would never have that happen to him. You do enough sit-ups, your stomach's fine.
But it could happen to you, and I hope it doesn't. But if it does, I hope you tough it out. And
never pulled out of anything in my life.
Lord.
Never, ever. Hey, by the way, so let's go back to the Jordan Spieth. And again, we're talking with Steve Johnson, the former director of instructions at Vaquero Country Club, because I'm making a phone call right after this show. This will be your last day. You won't even get through the gate with the gate card.
There's something more to this, Steve. There's something more to this. Tim's got something going on. We'll get you some sensitivity training.
Back to Jordan Spieth. Is that not a stupid rule to begin with? Because, and if we have Art Selinger on, he'll tell us too. Why is it that I and you and the three guys were playing? Why are we keeping our own scores? Why can't they have somebody on every hole or every group that follows you around in there? LeBron James does not keep his own score. Tradition. Nobody else in any other sport knows how many yards they have passing or whatever. Their scoreboards are up and somebody is keeping score. That's their job, is to keep score of every game. Why is it in golf, without saying because Bobby Jones wanted it that way, why are we keeping our own score? Somebody else should have it, and I shouldn't have to be responsible while I'm also checking yardage and where the wind direction is and all the other numbers in my head. Oh, I got to keep my own score or your score that I'm playing with. That's stupid. That to me is an archaic rule.
Okay. Well, I mean, I agree. I agree, Tim. But, okay, let's say someone else is keeping your score. Let's say the walking scorekeeper. We're talking about the highest level of golf here. We've got television cameras, we've got TrackMan, we've got walking scores, we've got marshals. Everyone knows what someone's shooting. So that walking score keeps your score.
Yeah.
And accidentally, by accident, and this happens, Tim, this does happen, that they accidentally put the wrong score on the wrong hole.
Okay.
What should happen then?
Then you fix it. There shouldn't be a clock going. There shouldn't be, he walked past the boundary, and now his score is his score. It should always be a score. And if somebody messes it up and they find out at 8 o'clock that night that he had a 69, not a 68, then correct it before he tees up again. What's with the you can't walk past here? You can't let the score be the score. And if they fix it, okay. And by the way, that should very rarely ever happen because you don't see too many football games or any other events where the score is wrong and they keep it wrong. If it's wrong, they correct it. So, yeah, they should have plenty of time to correct a score. That's what I'm saying. That would never happen the next round that he misses the tournament.
Can I talk to Frank here just for a second? Hey, Frank.
Yeah, Frank here. I'm here.
What the hell is wrong with Tim?
Somebody peed in his Cheerios. I have no idea what happened. I have no idea. I mean, good Lord.
Okay, let's resume. Back to
hey,
the
Hey, Tim, you know what? You're doing
I'm here again.
Karma, okay? So when you go to church this Sunday, I advise you to sit in a pew very close to the restroom, okay?
You know what?
Just in case.
When did we become PR people? That our job is, let's make sure everybody's happy. No, it bothers me. It did bother me that Tiger withdrew.
Oh, you texted me three times. He said, quitter.
Point is well taken.
Yeah,
point
really.
Is well not, taken.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Moving
Bad
on.
Behavior. Okay, well then, go ahead. You guys talk. I'm out of breath.
Now, Frank.
I'm all flush.
Into some obscure subject.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we talk about?
Volcanoes in the middle. We got talking about volcanoes in the middle of sickness talk.
Vedanta, yeah. So this week they're in Mexico City. Next week they'll be on the Florida Swing, and I can't wait. I can't wait. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Everybody talks about, and we know this, but just for the listeners, the putting, how do you instruct your people, Steve, when you're putting on Poana as opposed to Bent, as opposed to Bermuda? What are some tips?
You grew up on Poana, Steve.
I did grow up in Poana. Poana is a, I mean, for lack of a better explanation, it is a very hybrid dwarf type of weed. It grows mostly, on coastal areas because it needs moisture. It dies when it gets like desert type conditions. That's why when you look at Phoenix last week or a couple weeks ago, it was a little bit unusual because it was raining. The dry weather conditions kill the poana. So poana is present in a lot of rye grasses. So it just tends to overtake like a Pebble Beach or Torrey Pines courses that are on the coast that have a lot of humidity. This poana is a dominant grass of you know, especially for putting greens. To get to your question, Frank, what a lot of guys do is they will change the loft on the putter. Nowadays, most putters, you know, have, you know, no more. I mean, very less than, I don't even know of a putter that has 4 degrees of loft on it anymore. Most of them have about 2 degrees of loft. When you get on the bumpy surfaces and grainy surfaces like Bermuda and Poana, what a lot of the players do is they'll play with a putter that's exactly the same as the one they have, but they'll have it with more loft. So it gets above the top of the grass. It doesn't bump into the uneven nature of that grass. It gets on top and it rolls better. The best putters in the world can make the bumpiest greens look smooth with the way they roll that ball. I can remember Billy Casper and a lot of people that don't even know who Billy Casper is. He won like 63 or 4 times on the Famer.
Oh, yeah. He was did we lose Steve? Don't move around, Steve. Don't move around. He's breaking up.
You got me?
Yeah, we got you now. There you go.
Okay. So Billy Casper would roll in the afternoons on Poana Greens. He would roll. The ball looked like it was rolling on a table. It was rolling so well. So the best putters are going to be the best putters in all conditions. But a lot of the guys will change the loft on the putter.
So for an amateur out there that's putting on Bermuda greens at their local muni or country club or whatever it may be, our greens are bent at my club. What would you suggest as a putter loft, say, on bent grass greens?
I mean, in terms of, you know, whether it's a mallet putter or a cushionate type of bullseye putter, I would putt with the same type of putter that the look is the same, the feel is the same, it just has more loft. I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, just bend your putter, because it's hard to get it back to the way it was. I mean, these are subtle adjustments.
Yeah.
And when you bend a putter, you add more loft, you tend to, tend to close the face a little bit when you bend the putter more upright.
Bogey disagrees.
Yeah, Bogey the Wonder Dog. You wonder when he's going to stop barking. Sorry about that, folks. But
okay.
Would Scotty Scheffler, by the way, speaking of putting, would Scotty Scheffler be Tiger-esque in his wins? Meaning, would he be winning 4 or 5 times a year if he could putt decently? Because he strikes the ball better than everybody. And yet, when it comes to putting, and he's made some adjustments, everybody thought he was getting a little bit better. But sure enough, last week he putted horribly again. Horribly. Would he be winning? I mean, he already wins pretty consistently without being able to putt. If he could putt, it would kind of—he'd be off the charts, wouldn't he?
Didn't he come in the top 10 last week?
Yes,
yes.
And putted worse.
He was in the top 10.
Yeah. And I think he had the worst stats. Yeah,
yeah. The guys that made the cut, he had the worst strokes gained putting. He was ranked 68th or something like that.
He was way down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just too bad. I don't know if he would be Tiger-esque. He'd definitely be, I don't know if he'd be dominating, but he would definitely be winning more than he is right now, that's for sure.
Frank, is the rules of golf and the World Golf Rankings messed up? Some people are complaining because Scheffler now hasn't won, I may be wrong on this, but he hasn't won in a year or so maybe, or quite a while. And yet he's still number one in the world. And they're like, how is that happening? And I get there's a consistency top 10 and all that stuff. But I did read something where people were complaining, and maybe it's just because they had nothing else to talk about, but the guy who's number one in the world should be winning more than Scotty Scheffler has been winning. Are the rule, are the way they set that up for who's number one or what the world rankings are? Should it be adjusted for more value for winning?
My personal opinion of the official World Golf Rankings is throw it out and start again, because there are too many. There needs to be some changes made to that. Period.
Yeah.
Period. I think.
It was an artificial type of, and I'm sure they've got some, I know they have a system to it, but it was something that was created by Mark McCormick many, many years ago to have a venue or a platform for the best players in the world. I mean, if you don't have any of the LIV players participating in the World Golf Rankings, the World Golf Rankings is not as relevant as it could be, you know.
Well said.
Yeah.
So they've got to make that adjustment too. Which, by the way, what's the update on LIV Golf, Frank? They're still talking. Tiger even made reference that we may not need their money now that we have all this other.
Well, they got the $3 billion without having to give up Yasser becoming chairman of the board, which was, we all know what that would have meant to the PGA Tour. So Monahan got really what he wanted money wise.
But is there a war?
And that whole CNBC situation, I still say they went on there he had to stop the bleeding, and the bleeding was from the lawsuits, and $150 million was already out the door, and they were out of money.
Yeah.
So once they got the lawsuits dropped with prejudice, which means they can't go back on the same suits anymore, they gave Monahan free rein to go to all the other guys out there while they were negotiating an agreement over the period of a year that they never came to, and find other investors so he wouldn't have to give up his control.
But is he now at war? Or if they don't have an agreement, are you at war with
him? I would personally say, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would personally say that LIV Golf, I think they're a little ticked. That's why they grabbed Rahm and gave him the money they gave him, just to say, okay, boys in Ponte Vedra, we'll show you what we can do. And they're going to start picking fruit off the tree, and it's not going to be low-hanging fruit. They're going to go to the top of the tree and start picking fruit. When somebody throws $600 million or $700 million at you, I don't care who it is. You turn that down, you're a fool. You're an absolute idiot.
So, Tim?
Yeah?
Tim, back to Scottie Scheffler. He's played in 116 events. He's made 97 cuts. He's in the top 10 40% of the time.
That's strong.
Yeah.
He's in the top five 30% of the time. I mean, this guy's a dominant player. How long has he been on the PGA Tour? 3 years? 4 years?
Four.
Well, it was, 2 years ago from Phoenix, right, which was a couple weeks ago now. 2 years from Phoenix before he ever won. I mean, that was his first win, if you remember. And quickly, he became that good. Right, that was what's weird about it.
That was his first year on tour then, because he qualified through the Corn Ferry. You know how much this guy's made in 4 years? He made $45 million official. $45 million official money.
Yeah, this
guy's a dominant player.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying he shouldn't be number one. It was just a subject to bring up, because I did read something where people are like, well, why is the number one player not win that much, and other guys are winning? And yet they can't seem to pass him up. And I guess maybe there's an adjustment to the system. But, yeah, it's like he is consistent. So I get it. He gets his points for being top 10. But I think the argument was, well, if you're number one in the world, you should be winning like more tournaments than he's won. And he has had a bit of a cold spell where he hasn't won in quite a while here. So, I don't know. We'll see. Uh-huh. We'll see how it all plays out and what transpires with that. But I do think, back to the LIV thing, Frank, I think you're right. And I think if you piss those guys off, and maybe you already have, then they want, and if they're like, what is the number, and bring up the big guys, bring up Spieth and bring up Scheffler, bring up, God forbid, Rory, I guess, could never do it. But
don't say
some
never.
Of those other guys, Cantlay and some of these other guys, what would be their number? Because that would be, in a war context, and keeping my analogy going, that would be a shot. That would be a direct hit if you got
a nuclear hit is what that would be.
Because you want the PGA Tour has always said, we're the best in the world. Well, you're slowly not becoming the best, because some of the really great ones are fading away as far as World Golf Rankings and all that. Well, and the LIV Tour, it'll keep going on like that.
Let's get Steve's read on this. My personal opinion is we are losing every day that goes by that we haven't done something to rectify this world golf ranking system so that the guys that are over at LIV can compete more so around the world than they are doing right now. We're losing gems. I mean, my God, those guys are they're great players, yet yeah. they're withering away slowly. By design of the official world golf ranking system, by design, yeah. And that's criminal. That's absolutely criminal.
Mm-hmm. Well, the guys at the end of the day, the guys we really want to see in the majors, most of those guys are playing in the majors. All the guys are playing in the Masters, at least most of them. You've got Rahm, you've got Phil Mickelson, you've got Bubba Watson, you've got
Dustin
Johnson. I mean. Now, it's a shame that Bubba Watson, Koepka would be there. It's unfortunate that you don't see guys like Bubba Watson in some of the other majors just because, he hadn't won in a while and his ranking has slipped a little bit.
But that's the Masters too. I mean, the British Open, PGA, those guys aren't all going to qualify for those. Right? I mean, Masters, if you won, right. You'll always get invited.
It's an invitational
rule.
It's an invitational. They
but
can
some
invite
of these
me.
Other ones, we might stop seeing DeChambeau. We might stop seeing Cam Smith. And we got to remember, there's at least I think a dozen really really good players on LIV Tour. I know there's some Taylor Gooches that made a lot of money, but nobody's really going to probably miss them if they don't show up at some of these. But there's at least a dozen good big name guys, the Rahms of the world, that you want to see. Right. And I don't want to just see him in the majors. I would like to see him play on some occasional PGA Tour events and get out there.
Here's the one that kills me. Because it was so close to my heart and I lived there for 17 years. The Players' Championship.
Yeah.
That's the one that just, wow. To miss all those guys from the Players' Championship, I think it's just sad.
Yeah, I do, and I think too that the DeChambeau, and I bring him up, he's kind of faded to the point where we don't. And I'm not saying faded, we just don't see him, and the world golf rankings go away and all that. I loved because he looked at golf courses differently, and I know he's kind of backed it up a little bit. But when the Players, Frank, wasn't his strategy at 18 to go across the lake?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wasn't he wanting to do that, like go left across the lake?
Yeah.
I love the fact that he would think of these bizarre ways to take
that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they made that OB
course.
That year too, when he opened his mouth ahead of time, and they made it OB.
We'll see DeChambeau in all the majors this year, though. I mean, he won the U.S. Open a few years ago. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, this year we will.
Well, I think he's doing really well, though. I mean, he's doing videos with Paige, so happen to catch that with he and Paige and giving her golf lessons and.
Yeah.
My goodness. Are they a thing?
Both of them are flexing their muscles and everything, yeah.
Whatever. Don't go there.
There we go.
Don't go there. No, I really do want to see those guys play.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody
I watch it. I watch the CW. I watch the tournaments because I want to see them. I mean, I just miss seeing them in competition week in and week out all together. There has to be something. Something's got to give.
Well, we had Elkington on last week, Steve Elkington, and he even mentioned about the LIV Tour, and Frank, remind me who it was that beat Sergio in that playoff in Mexico. Is it the Colombian golfer? Who am I forgetting? What is his name? Remember, they went into the playoff, and it was dark out.
Are you talking about Joaquin?
Was that who it was?
Joaquin Neiman?
Was it Joaquin? Yeah. And he said in four playoff holes, he hit three balls about 340 yards, and all of them you could put a blanket over.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just saying the talent level, right? That takes a lot to be able to hit a ball that well, that straight, with $4 million on the line. I want to see those guys. Is all I'm saying. There's a lot of talent. You know, even if you get away from Epcas and the major winners on the LIV Tour, and I'm not saying they're fading away, but it is harder to find the CW than it is to watch Golf Channel or CBS.
Well, you have to go to Peacock, then you have to go to Golf Channel, then you have to go to either NBC or CBS. So you're flipping around anyway to watch a PGA Tour event if you watch all 4 days.
I didn't have CW until January on my system, which is streamed on AT&T streaming.
Ugh.
I didn't even have a CW. I couldn't watch. I can now. So, it wasn't everywhere is what I'm saying, kind of everywhere. But back to the point, I just like to see all these guys getting back in there, what they're doing. All right, Steve. Hey, tell us a little bit about how things are going at Vaquero. You guys, you're open. You're not open for another while yet, right? You're still fixing things up?
Well, no. The golf course opened to members back in October.
Okay.
And we still haven't had a full growing season, so carts are on the paths and all that. There's a lot of courses here in this Dallas-Fort Worth area that are redoing the grasses and some minor Dallas National will be closing in April. Dallas Country Club just finished a big renovation. Royal Oaks just finished another renovation. Bacalo, not too long ago. So one of those things that you've got to do every about 20 to 25 years is, you know, update your course, your irrigation system, your drainage and all that. And I tell you, we've had a lot of golf course raiders out, Golf Digest, a lot of Dallas, you know, the Dallas Morning News has a lot of raiders. Golf Digest goes on a 2-year cycle, so we won't be considered for another year and a half. But they like what they see. It's a hard course. It's very visual, very target oriented. It's generous off the tee, but the second shots you have got to put it not only on the green, but you got to put it in the right part of the green. So I look forward to you coming out here, Tim, and you better not quit when you come out.
That's not funny, Frank. Why are you laughing at that one? That's not funny.
Go to Bueno Taco the night before and have a great day on the course, Bubba.
How about that? We brought it back. That was full circle right there, Tim.
It was. That was great. That's a great transition. Have you done this before, Steve? Yeah. Yeah, really?
Oh, man. Well, unfortunately, right. I'm going to have to quit on you guys. I hope Tim doesn't call me a quitter.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to have to quit.
Well,
and,
I
appreciate
anyway.
You guys having me on.
Oh, it's great.
I
feel better,
you
buddy.
On,
feel better.
You know, I love you, Tim. And Frank, I think we need some counseling for Tim. Something's happening.
I agree. We have a program at Golf Talk America Corporation for the mentally deranged. So yeah,
I have to go speak to HR after the show's over.
You got to talk to HR, buddy.
Okay, guys. Thanks, Steve.
See you.
Take
pal.
Care, man.
Talk
Bye.
To you.
All right. All right, Steve Johnson, again, director of instruction at Vaquero Country Club.
That was great.
Here we go.
Let's take a break.
Get my blood going.
I don't want to quit, but can we take a break?
Yeah. I hate to say a quitter, but we're going to quit this segment. We're going to come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back right after this.
Is hiring challenging? Yes. Do you love a challenge? Also, yes. You need a hiring partner that can help you rise to that challenge. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. We streamline hiring with powerful tools that find you matched candidates. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because the candidates you invite to apply are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to US Indeed data. We get you one step closer to the hire by immediately matching you with quality candidates. I can tell you, folks, I use Indeed and have over and over again in my past businesses. Works perfectly. My wife is the head of HR for a major corporation, which has to go unnamed right now, but I can tell you this. She's used Indeed over and over again, and she absolutely raves about it. Told me about it far before they ever became a sponsor of Golf Talk America. So join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/golfer. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/golfer. That's G-O-L-F-E-R. Just go to Indeed.com/golfer and support the show by saying you heard about it on this podcast. Indeed.com/golfer. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. And we just had Steve Johnson on the phone. My sister, who lives in Chicago, just texted me, Frank, because she's just landed at DFW Airport, and I have to go have a late breakfast. I don't have to, but I'm going to go have a late breakfast with her. She has a layover here. And so, yeah, I'm going to go see her in a little bit. You know, you find out when she texted me about doing this last week is you can't do that. Like, you can't meet somebody at the airport anymore like you used to. Have – because there's security. You got to go inside security, but you can't do that if you don't have a ticket. So she'd have to come outside the security, then go back through the whole line and everything, go back into security.
Right.
Which she's going to do because she has a long layover, so she'll have time to do it. But it's a pain. It used to be kind of nice that you could go.
Oh, it was fun. I used to love to go to the airport bar and hang out and wait on friends to come in. And
not anymore.
Yeah. No, you can't do it. One of my favorite airports to do that in was Miami.
Yes, yeah.
I love the Miami. Used to love it. I mean, it's gotten kind of seedy now, but used to love that airport in the 80s and 90s. That was fun. Hey,
we're just talking to Steve Johnson about a little bit about the Masters and other majors. But speaking of the Masters, Frank, did you see that they've really only made one significant change to Augusta National? And that was the number two hole, that they've added some length to it, which is, as people recall, the big dog leg left sweeping
40 yards
around the corner.
40 yards?
That they've added, I think they added 25 yards to it. It's the longest hole on the course.
Oh, was it just 25? Okay.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it was 40. And because at some point, I mean, I guess they could keep finding ways, but, you know, at some point, the tee box already kind of gets close to the number one green.
Yeah, right? You're going to have to put it in Aiken.
You're going to go into the woods you know, or something on every one of these tee boxes if you really want to add some length. But it has become, and that just shows you the length issue here, it has become a fairly, I say fairly, easy par five, right? Where if guys hit the ball just right and it goes down in that slot,
it rolls right down.
Yeah, they're hitting like a five iron into the green and two. Right?
They're making it more challenging. It's going to become a more of a birdie or par hole.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a go for two. Some guys will, but you're getting in trouble there.
Well, I wonder, too, if they're going to start bunkering differently, right? I mean, as it is, there are – every golf course obviously has strategic bunkers, but – are they not in the right place for these guys, right? As these guys are carrying a ball 300 yards and they're flying bunkers, do you have to start bunkering differently so that they've got to be more strategic?
If anybody knows what they're doing with it's Augusta National. And I've talked to some of the guys there, some of the members, and we were talking about when they were redoing some of these things over the past years and how they would go out there with pros and players. And they put flags out where they're landing the ball, and then they move it back and put flags out. And I mean, they get real down in the weeds on that stuff.
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing.
Because you want to do that as opposed to you want to figure out a way.
To challenge the best.
Right. And so some of that is narrowing fairways. Some of it is to not make it into a runway. Some of it is to grow up the rough.
Art Sellinger. Get art.
Penalizing so that you're not having to play 8,000-yard hole or golf courses for these guys. We're talking about the pros. For them to you know, still be able to shoot 68s and not just blow away the courses. And so, you've got part of that is figuring out where exactly you put hazards, right? Where you and the greens normally are an equalizer at Augusta. And I love when they're, I don't know if they normally run, but probably 13, Frank, right?
Somewhere they 12, 13. Absolutely.
That is an equalizer. Yeah, because you hit a ball where you think you should hit it, and it rolls and roll and goes off the back of the greener. That's an equalizer that you've got to be able to. Mm-hmm. But still,
or an agonizer.
Yeah, you know, Bubba proved a couple of times when he won that if you hit it far enough, and even if the greens are fast, if you're hitting an 8-iron in,
makes a big difference.
A 3-iron, it makes a big difference.
Yep. Right? Yeah, it does. You know, it does. I'm looking forward to it though. Not to belittle the Florida swing. Tiger probably will not play Bay Hill. He'll play the players, I would imagine, to get ready for the Masters. But
I guess so.
I don't think he'll play Bay Hill. Bay Hill is just it's a long, hard golf course. It just, you know, he plays Ponte Vedra pretty well, TPC Sawgrass, because of his iron play. I mean, he doesn't have to pull a driver on every hole like he does at Bay Hill. So
I think also back to Tiger in a different mode than what we're talking about. But I think what I saw and what maybe a lot of other people saw as well is the rustiness, and they'll bring that up every time he plays. But what I'm thinking is, if Tiger indeed wants to compete once a month, like he said he'd like to do, and really, you know, be in a tournament and compete in a tournament, I just don't know if that's enough prep, right? If you can at once a month get it going, because he even said after his what round was it? His first round, I guess. After his first round, yeah, he still had some butterflies. He said, well, that's because he doesn't play very much. Yeah. And he plays with his buddies, and he does all this work he wants to do away from the events. But once he gets to those events, you're going to have that time after time after time because he's not playing week after week after week. I just wonder if he can really compete on that kind of a schedule and do much more than make cuts, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, right? I don't know. We're going to see.
He was a rusty putter. Right, he didn't putt very well.
No,
you know, he missed some putts that he would normally have not missed. A lot of those things that happen when you haven't played in months,
you know,
and months and months.
Talking about the Masters, it will be the only tournament, basically. Well, you'll have a lot of LIV Golf players there. You know,
yes.
And it's made the Masters, even though it's the toughest. The Masters tickets are tougher to get than Super Bowl tickets. For the general public, and it's making it even more. The value of those tickets is going up. The guys who resell tickets out there, they're cleaning up. They're not supposed to do that.
People do that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I don't know. Anyway, but we're going to be at Azalea House. So if you're in Augusta, stop by and say hi. We'll be there. So
nice. Yeah,
hanging
Looking
out.
Looking forward to it. Before we know it.
I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. I'm so looking forward to spring, daylight savings time, everything coming back because winters are brutal in this part of the country. We have about a month and a half, 2 months of just weather.
Yeah.
And we usually leave. My wife and I will travel to Florida or somewhere. But we couldn't do it because of everything that went on, you know, this December night tornado and all that. So we were kind of stuck here. And then we get over here and I break my foot. And then we have 11 inches of snow, which is unheard of in this part of the country, paralyzed us for a week. So don't move to Nashville if you're from California, New York, or Chicago. Please don't come here. Stop it.
Speaking of which, Frank, I got another verification for something you claimed a while back, which is traffic in Nashville.
Yes.
That I saw a thing from the National Transportation or whatever, and they said, here are the top 10 worst areas, and they gave like highways, right? I-95 and this outside of New York and a couple in Chicago.
I-24.
Nashville had one in the top 10. I think there were like 7 or 8. It is part of a highway in Nashville is one of the worst in the country.
Congestion. I-65 at Trinity Lane and I-24. You have to take 24 out of Nashville to go to Chattanooga, to go to Atlanta, to get to Augusta. Unless you want to take 65 and go straight down and go through Troy and stop off. There's a neat little golf course there I always stop at and spend the night. Or go to on down to Valdosta and go play there. Yeah. But, traffic's tough. Nashville is a tough area.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, my point is, don't move here. Stop it. Go home. We're full. Plus, we have potholes everywhere now. So, there you go.
There you go. Frank's going to paint the worst picture possible. Stop coming here.
Absolutely, I will. Anyway.
Get off my roads.
Yeah, get off of my lawn.
All right. We're out of time. Hey, I want to remind everybody to check out Invited Clubs. Frank and I are both members of Invited Clubs. You could be too. Go to invitedclubs.com, formerly Club Corp, and find a club near you. Test them out and see all the beautiful things that are happening in Invited Clubs. Over 200 clubs all around the country, and you're going to love to be a member of one of them. Great service, great people. You're going to love every minute of Invited Clubs.
Yep.
How about PXG?
Well, check them out. PXG.com. New clubs. Go get fitted. Nobody builds golf clubs the way we do, period.
So apparel, balls, clubs,
everything.
PXG's growing and glowing every time.
Got Absolutely.
Going on. Thank you to Steve Johnson with Vaquero Club for joining us. And for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks to each and every one of you. And remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.